Lisa Johnson, Leanna McBride, and their staff provide full-service family dental care for patients of all ages in Grand Rapids and surrounding communities. More information at granddentalcenter.com.
And you are listening to 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids and 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji. We are Northern Community Radio, telling the stories of the people and land of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Operating translator K210DR in Brainerd at 89.9. Listen at KAXE.org or on your smart speaker. We need people like you to support this local media. Text word donate to 218-326-1234. Thank you. And looking at weather today, we still have some patchy fog that'll be going on until 10 a.m. this morning. Otherwise, it should be a mostly sunny day, highs near 80 degrees. That's pretty warm, Jen.
It is. I like it.
Calm wind, tonight increasing clouds, lows in the upper 50s, lower 60s. And tomorrow, chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon at night. Partly sunny, highs near 80, south winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Now it's time for headlines.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Korva Coleman. NATO defense officials are meeting today to talk about security guarantees for Ukraine. That's if there's a ceasefire between Russia and Ukraine. The topic came up this week when President Trump met European leaders at the White House. But today, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov criticized any effort to work on security arrangements that does not include Russia. Lavrov says Russia will look after its own interests, quote, firmly and harshly. William Taylor served as the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine under both Presidents George W. Bush and Barack Obama. He says the Russians are continuing to drag out any efforts to work toward peace.
What the Russians do and have done over and over and over is stall. And it allows their military to continue to bash, batter, bombard the Ukrainians, which they've done.
No concrete proposals have yet emerged from the White House meeting on the war in Ukraine this week. President Trump is renewing his criticism of the Smithsonian Institution. NPR's Netta Ulaby reports.
In his post, the president called the Smithsonian Institution out of control, all caps. He said museums throughout Washington and all over the country are essentially the last remaining segment of woke. Again, the last word, all caps. The White House earlier this month announced plans to audit 8 Smithsonian museums to ensure what it called alignment with the president's directive to celebrate American exceptionalism, remove divisive narratives, and, quote, restore confidence in our shared cultural institutions. But a number of museums and historical associations have pushed back against what the American Alliance of Museums described as, quote, the growing threats of censorship in a statement. Netta Ulaby, NPR News.
Certain tax credits for people who buy their own health insurance will expire at the end of this year. These were enacted during the COVID-19 pandemic. NPR's Selena Simmons Duffin reports on one enrollee who is bracing for a significant price hike.
It's going to be a real hit.
Ellen Allen lives near Charleston, West Virginia, and buys coverage on healthcare.gov.
My monthly premium is $479 and some change.
Next year, when there will be fewer federal tax credits,
it's going to be like $2,800 a month.
Just for her. She says it's still worth it to have the plan. She has expensive prescriptions, like eye drops. She needs to keep her vision. She says she started setting money aside now to pay her premiums next year. Luckily, she'll be turning 65 next year and will be able to enroll in Medicare.
At least it's for only 9 months or 8 months, and I'm glad I can do it. There will be a lot more West Virginians who can't.
Selena Simmons Duffin, NPR News, Washington.
You're listening to NPR. Air Canada flights are resuming after the carrier reached a tentative contract with striking flight attendants, but Air Canada officials warn it could take a week to get all their flights back on schedule. Bankers, policymakers, and economists will gather in Jackson Hole, Wyoming tomorrow. It's for the annual Federal Reserve Symposium on changing labor markets. Some attendees are worried that climate change did not make the agenda. Hannah Mersbach has more.
Former Deputy Secretary of the U.S. Treasury Sarah Bloom Raskin says severe temperatures are already hurting labor markets.
Extreme heat alone is costing the U.S. economy approximately $100 billion per year in labor productivity impacts.
Bloom Raskin is joining scholars, activists, and Illinois Congressman Sean Casten in sounding the alarm about climate change's economic impacts. This isn't the first time critics have cited the omission of climate change at a high-profile Federal Reserve event. It comes after the Fed left a global climate organization and disbanded committees studying the issue earlier this year. For NPR News, I'm Hannah Merzbach in Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
If you're in the Milwaukee area today, you could get a free burger. Local chain George Webb Restaurant is honoring its promise of free burgers after the Milwaukee Brewers baseball team reached a 12-game win streak last week. So the chain handed out about 100,000 vouchers to fans, but they ran out. Now, the chain is just telling people to show up for their burgers. You're listening to NPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Procter & Gamble, maker of ZzzQuil, with a range of products designed to relieve occasional sleeplessness to help people fall asleep. Learn more at ZzzQuil.com. This is NPR.
And you are listening to the Wednesday Morning Show here on member-supported KAXE KBXE. I'm Andrew DeZingle here with Jen Kellen. We receive support from the UPM Blandin Paper, integrating bio and forest industries into a sustainable and innovation-driven future. More information at upmpaper.com.
Support for this program comes from Sanford Health, with primary care locations in Bemidji and across the Upper Midwest. Sanford Health is committed to providing care close to home. Learn more at sanfordhealth.org.
And programming is supported in part by the Judy Garland Museum, located on Highway 169 in Grand Rapids, featuring Judy Garland's 1920s childhood home and a gallery of Judy and Wizard of Oz memorabilia, including the original carriage from the film. Visitor information is available at judygarlandmuseum.com. It is 8:06, and you're listening to the Wednesday Morning Show. Headwaters School of Music and the Arts will have a community drum circle jam. Here to talk more about the event is Master Drummers Fodi Camara and Helen Bond. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're very happy to be here.
And welcome to Bemidji. This is your first trip to Bemidji,
it is.
Correct?
Yeah.
And we're also joined by Mary Mitchell, who I hear is sort of the organizer of this event. So how did this all get together?
Right. So last year in September, I attended a conference in Wisconsin where Helen did a drumming workshop. And I was so impressed with her, with the joy that she exuded and her teaching style. I just immediately thought I needed to bring her to Bemidji. And initially, my idea was to bring her into the school system. But time just got short, and it didn't work out for us in the spring. And then I kind of shifted, and I thought, what about the Boys and Girls Club? Because they meet in the summer, and there's hundreds of kids that attend. And they were very, very excited about the opportunity. And so it just, I applied for some grants with Headwaters Music and Arts as the fiscal sponsor and was able to raise the money to bring Helen and Fode to Bemidji. And I'm so happy they're here. So we've been at the Boys and Girls Club for the last couple days. We have two more days there.
Wow.
And then on Friday, we do have the community drum workshop and circle jam at Headwaters Music and Arts.
Very good.
Excellent. So what kind of happens at these workshops?
Well, the workshops, we teach the children how to play the drums and introduce them to the technique, and then Fode actually made all of the instruments that they're playing.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So how many drums did you bring?
We brought 24 djembes, and we brought 14 bass drums.
Oh my goodness, and you made all of them?
Yes.
Wow. How long have you been doing this? And is this something you grew up with?
I'm go up for play in the drum. It's a long time. After that, I traveled to United States to give a class, and we give it to children too in the class.
Wow. Yeah. So in Fodi and I have been touring together for over 20 years.
Oh,
I bring him over, and then we work with a lot of schools and travel the country doing artists in residency.
Oh,
and so he did grow up with the music and has been probably playing drums since he was, or making drums since he was 18.
Wow.
So what kind of inspired you to go across the country doing workshops like these?
I purchased a djembe and I wanted to know where it came from and its background. And when I did the research, I found out Guinea was the place to go to. And I had a corporate life at that time. And I took time off from work and went to Guinea for a month.
Wow.
And I studied the music, and that's where I met Fode, and I have many other friends there. So I spent a month learning the music and just loved it so much that ultimately I left my corporate life to do this full time.
Oh, very cool.
And I teach at a college, Lake Forest College, north of Chicago, and I teach West African drumming, and we have a chamber group, and it's a required course for a music ed degree.
Oh, interesting. That's fascinating.
So on Friday, they got the workshop first and then the jam after that. Kind of do you have to have prior experience to participate in this?
Not at all. This is open to everyone. We lay a foundation of music, and then they can copy what I'm doing, or if they have their own sounds they want to add to it, they can add. So what we're doing is a combination of, I learned traditional music, but we're doing an eclectic moment where everybody can come and add their unique voice to it all.
Very good.
And so, and then it's, what is there a cost to attend this event?
No, this is free. Mary did great work pulling grants together, and so this is a gift for the community. And so it's open for everyone. You also can come and go as you like. And if you have any percussion instruments, you can bring those and join in as well.
And what would you describe the atmosphere as like?
Joyful.
Joyful.
Joyful. Fun. It's about having fun. Forget about all your problems. That's why many people take classes with me, is to just have a moment where they can leave everything behind and create music together.
And just live in the moment for a change.
Totally, yes. Totally in the moment.
What time is all of this happening on Friday?
Mary, you can.
Yep. We're starting at 5:30, and we might go to 8:30. We will have a half an hour break for social time and some snacks. We'll see how it goes. We may end a little earlier. But we're encouraging people to to RSVP. You don't have to RSVP, but if you have the ability to do so, it's encouraged, so we have an idea of how many are coming. And you can do that on the Headwaters Music and Arts website.
Very good.
Excellent. So I have a question for both of you. How has your Bemidji experience been like this week?
So I'm going to help with talking to Fode.
Okay.
He speaks seven languages.
Oh, wow.
Il a demandé comment ton expérience ici.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here because this first time I come to this city to give to my drum class in the children, to share my culture. I like that.
Yeah, sharing the culture. And what do you think about, because we spend a lot of time going around the lake, looking at how beautiful.
Yeah, I like it here because I see here it's a lot of lake. Can sit down to relax. I see many people to come to walk or run.
Yeah, he's enjoyed.
I like that.
Yeah. Watching everybody walk around and be active. Yeah, it's really beautiful.
It is kind of the best time of year to be here.
Though if you'd like a winter experience, you're welcome to come back.
What do you think for winter?
Winter is too much for me, but it's life.
That's wise.
Yeah.
Yeah, I explained to him that sometimes in the country, this is the coldest place.
Yes. 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 Well, we're so glad to have you here. And this just sounds like such a unique experience to be able to take advantage of.
Yeah, and we see you brought
some. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, we see you brought some instruments. Yes. Could we hear a little preview of what's going to be Friday will be like?
Sure. Get the right. Two favorite guys.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. So once again, it'll be going on this Friday. What time again?
The time.
5:30.
Yeah.
5:30. And RSVPs are welcome at Headwaters Facebook page. Yeah, Headwaters Music and Arts Facebook page.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to play a tune for you now. This is Alex G with the song June Guitar.
Learn from falling down. Don't make
absolutely loved that song. That is Alex G with the song June Guitar from his new album Headlights. With Alex G, every time he comes out with a new album, there's always at least like two or three songs on each album that just like is so in sync with what I want to hear. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable.
And you just want to listen to it more than once?
Yeah.
You do that? Like if it's hitting the spot, you just hit repeat?
Yeah, I've had that happen before.
Yeah.
Or when like, you know, when you're listening to a song and you expect it to hit it really hard and it didn't do quite what you wanted to do. So you're like, all right, I'll give it another go. Let's see if it can make it happen on the second time.
Yep. And success rate on that for you is?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Hit or miss.
Yeah.
I remember one time I listened to a song like four times in a row because it's like a 2-minute song and it just like, I loved it so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes it's just exactly what you're looking for.
That is Jen Kellen. I'm Andrew DeZingle. You're listening to the Wednesday Morning Show, and we're here until 9 o'clock. Then we're going to hand things over to Headwaters with Kari Hedlund.
We have another area of voices to fit in.
That's
this
true.
Morning.
We still have another area of voices.
And I'm still kind of buzzing from the drummers
in the studio.
That was super fun. As they were packing up, Helen was sharing with us, not only does she teach West African drumming and do workshops all over the country, she also runs a nonprofit called Motherland Rhythm Community. And they do biosand water filters that transform contaminated water into clean drinkable water all over Guinea. So they are also, she's not just in town to do drumming, but she's also going to do a workshop tomorrow evening from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at Huff here in Bemidji at the Peace Center, called The Ripple Effect, Delivering Clean Water to Guinea One Filter at a Time. So that's super interesting. If you have questions about that, you can give us a call here, 218-326-1234. We're also going to put something, are you going to do that in the web story
too?
Yeah,
we'll make a web story. We'll have information about that event going on tomorrow night as well.
Okay, very good. So that's exciting.
Morning show we've been having here.
It's even more packed than we knew. And you prepared me that this was going to be the ground running. That's the first thing you said to me on Monday. You better be ready.
And look what happened. Now you're ready.
I know. I think you made the coffee a little extra strong today, too. Just to get us over the finish line here, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, like we were talking, September is sneaking up on us.
Yes, it
is. Before you know it, it's going to be here, and that means Grand Rapids Riverfest is just a couple weeks away. It's going on Saturday, September 6th. This year's lineup is Courtney Barnett, Margot Price, Jeremy Albino, and Alan Sparhawk. Tickets and info at GrandRapidsRiverfest.com. And if you want to volunteer at the event, you can head to GrandRapidsRiverfest.com under Get Involved. And I'm pretty excited because Margot Price, I believe, has released an album the week before
Riverfest. Yes, that'll be exciting.
And every single I've heard from that so far has been great.
You like it?
Yes, I enjoy it. Yeah. And I'm very excited to see Courtney Barnett. I remember first hearing about her way back, I think it was 2014, when her first two EPs came out. Mm-hmm. And I got a free singles compilation download kind of thing from a magazine I bought.
Okay.
And I've been a fan ever since. And I'm going to play a Courtney Barnett tune for you right now. This is from the album Tell Me How You Really Feel. This came out in 2018. And the song I'm going to play for you is called City Looks Pretty.
Don't know where you've been, why you've gone so long.
that was Courtney Barnett with the song City Looks Pretty. Courtney Barnett will, of course, be at Grand Rapids River Fest going on Saturday, September 6th, along with Margot Price, Jeremy Albino, and Alan Sparhawk. Tickets and info at GrandRapidsRiverFest.com.
You know, that's always such a fun day.
It is, and it's not to hopefully knock on wood. Yeah. It's been beautiful weather the last 2 years.
Yes, it sure has.
It's just a beautiful day, just filled with music and fun and just like...
Right along the shores of the Mississippi River, there's great food, there's good beer if you're into good beer.
And then at night, it is something magical about seeing live music at night outside with a group of people that are all super into it. Like, there's nothing quite like it.
No, there's not. And, you know... As you mentioned, like, I've been to other music festivals, and it's almost like the crowd is just kind of distracting because they're side, kind of, you know, there's like, but this is like a group of people that is there for the music, and that just makes the whole experience that much more magical, I think. Have you been to concerts like that, where it's just like, oh, just pay attention to the music?
No, because usually I am always at concerts. No, I'm usually, I wish I was up front.
Oh.
But I feel like at most concerts, I am constantly on the alert of anyone trying to get in front of me.
Oh.
So I am always vigilant at concerts.
You're playing defense. No, it's a great venue. It's great, great lineup this year. Great vendors. It's just an all-around great day. Good. We've always taken our kids to this event, so it's family friendly. You can hang out. You don't have to worry about, you know, them getting stampeded in a crowd or whatever. It's just, it's a great,
yeah,
it's a great,
and when you need together, like a little break from the music, you just walk around the area. It's such a beautiful spot.
Stroll by the river if you want to take part in a little nature walk.
Yeah.
That's always fun. So yeah, it's going to be good. If you haven't gotten tickets yet,
do it now.
May as well do it today.
It's radio day.
It is. And that's a great way to support this radio station.
Absolutely. We receive support from Paul Bunyan Communications, powered by the GigaZone, a broadband cooperative featuring all fiber optic GigaZone internet speeds up to 10 gig and local customer service. Learn more at paulbunyan.net.
Support also comes from AW Research Laboratories located in Brainerd, providing water testing for private wells, real estate, lakes, and wastewater since 1972. Online at awlab.com.
Time now for the Up North Report.
For KAXE News, I'm Larissa Donovan with the Up North Report. The following story contains details that may be upsetting to some listeners. A former teacher at two Iron Range schools faces three felony counts of first-degree criminal sexual conduct for allegedly assaulting an adolescent female relative. Megan Buffington has the story.
43-year-old Ryan Ross Denzer Johnson of Embarrass was charged in St. Louis County on Monday. He's been a math teacher at Mesabi East since 2023 and resigned August 10th, according to the district. He also previously taught at Northeast Range and worked with robotics teams at both schools. According to court filings, Denzer Johnson sexually assaulted the girl at least three times over a 16-month period beginning in 2023. Law enforcement spoke with the victim on August 12th. Court filings say Denzer Johnson admitted to the crimes to law enforcement. Assistant St. Louis County Attorney Amber Peterson wrote in a filing that Denzer Johnson was aware for some time that he, quote, was prone to sexually assault minor females, but he still taught and worked in youth ministry and on a church advisory board. Each count carries a maximum sentence of 30 years, a $40,000 fine, or both. Denzer Johnson makes his next court appearance Monday. Megan Buffington, KAXE News.
The Minnesota Court of Appeals has reversed the felony conviction of a Colorado woman for her role in a 2021 protest of Enbridge's Line 3 in Aitkin County. Chelsea Parkins explains the court's reasons for ordering a new trial.
The appeals court issued its ruling on Monday, nearly 2 years after a jury convicted Malene Villard of obstruction of justice. The charge was related to her role in a 2021 protest at Enbridge's Swatara pumping station. 56-year-old Villard was one of two people who attached themselves to a self-supporting bamboo structure in the driveway. The court opined that Villard failed to receive a fair trial because of, quote, a pattern of unusually serious misconduct by Garrett Sliva, former assistant Aitkin County attorney. The appeals court remanded the case back to the district court for a new trial. The Attorney General's office, which represented the state in the appeal, conceded to five of the more than 20 instances of misconduct alleged. This included several statements that could have led the jury to be prejudiced against Villard. The court noted she has a French accent and came from Boulder, Colorado. Villard came to support the efforts of Indigenous people to protect water from the potential impacts of an oil pipeline. Attorney Claire Glenn is a trial lawyer who works with the Climate Defense Project. She defended Villard during the trial and the appeal.
I think this whole judicial system is supposed to be about accountability, but that often does not extend to prosecutors themselves.
The Aiken County Attorney's Office did not return a request for comment. This is the second Aiken County case against a Line 3 protester reversed by the State Appeals Court this year. Chelsea Perkins, KAXE News.
Attorney General Keith Ellison is suing TikTok for violating Minnesota's consumer protection laws. Ellison filed the lawsuit Tuesday in Hennepin County District Court. A news release says he will prove that TikTok has prioritized profit over well-being and engaged in deceptive and unfair business practices. Ellison's office points to the social media company's, quote, addictive algorithm and other predatory features that it says are designed to take young users' time, attention, data, and money without their knowledge. Ellison also accuses TikTok of lying about the safety of the app, downplaying risks, and financially and sexually exploiting children with its illegal virtual currency. He alleges various harms because of these practices, including to youth mental and physical health and self-image. Ellison is asking the court to make the company change how it operates, in addition to seeking penalties and other monetary relief. International Falls is asking for community input as it plans the future of Smoky Bear Park. The park was home to the city's historic band shell, which burned in April 2024. The city says it is considering three options: recreating the band shell, building a new multi-use structure, or leaving the park as a green space. An open house in the city council chambers is set for Monday. The city is also accepting answers to a related questionnaire until September 2nd. That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Larissa Donovan, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report is made possible by Woodland Bank, serving the area since 1920, with locations in Grand Rapids, Cohasset, Hill City, and Deer River. Woodland Bank believes in building community and serving local nonprofits like KAXE.
You're tuned in to the Wednesday morning show. It is 8:36. I'm Andrew DeZingle here with the franchise, Jen Kellen. And coming up in just a bit, we've got another area voices. This time talking about the Hadestown production. They'll be going on this weekend.
Another thing to try to shoehorn into this weekend.
Yeah, this is a packed weekend. I don't know what to do. So we also heard a text from the text line from Lisa talking about when I played Roger McGuinn earlier for
from the vault. Yep.
And Lisa said, when you played Roger McGuinn this morning, I remember seeing him at Parade Stadium in Minneapolis. McGuinn, Clark, and Hillman played along with several other acts. Admission was a donation for the food shelf. After several internet searches, I pieced together that it was the Concert for Sharing, June 6, 1976. Melissa Manchester was the headliner.
Wow.
Do any other listeners remember this? So if you were at this concert, please give us a text, 218-326-1234. Once again, that event was called the Concert for Sharing. It happened June 6, 1976. Let us know if you were at that event, too.
That's a game I like to play. Like, just think if, you know, someone you know now, and then you're talking about something and you realize, like, oh, I was there then, too, but we didn't know each other. Like, maybe we saw each other and didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
You ever play that game? You're maybe not old enough to play that game.
Sort of. Like, my buddy Holland and Dringa, we both went to the same KISS concert before we knew each other.
Mm-hmm.
We could have maybe saw each other and didn't know it.
Right. I think that's kind of fun. It's kind of fun. You know what else is fun? Well,
I know what you're leading me to.
To some people, it's not fun for you.
I'm not an anti-fair guy. Let's just get that straight.
Okay, so Minnesota State Fair is coming up.
Yes.
And one thing that's relevant to our listeners on this National Radio Day is KXE is going to be at the State Fair this Friday, right?
Yes, this Friday, August 22nd. at the Emperor's booth in the Education Building. Stop by and see Kari Hedlund and Malachi Koons. They'll both be there this Friday.
I went to the State Fair, went to a concert a couple years ago, and I was pleasantly surprised. I think had you asked me, are you a big State Fair fan? Mm-hmm. Before I went to that concert, I would have been like, it's okay. But I had a really nice time, and it was really not as crowded or sticky as I was expecting. Well, there is a cobblestone effect from all the Sweet Martha cookies that fall out of the tops of the bucket, and they get walked down by the crowd, so yeah. It gets a little cobblestoney. But no, it was really nice. So when's the last time you've been to the State Fair?
I've never been to the State Fair.
What?
It's true.
Wow. What are you waiting for?
I don't know.
I mean, this weekend is packed. We've already established that.
Yeah.
But you don't have plans for Labor Day weekend.
Well, you don't know that. You didn't ask me. I asked you what your Labor Day plans, and you never asked back.
That's right. I don't have plans. I'm sorry. I don't have plans for Labor Day. Do you have plans for Labor Day?
No.
Well,
actually, no, I might do something because it's my sister's birthday that weekend. Oh, so
maybe take her to the State Fair.
I don't think so.
Does this attitude apply to county fairs? Did you go to your county fair as a kid?
Kid, I went to the Marshall County Fair a bunch.
Okay.
And stuff like that.
What events did you attend? Concerts?
Demolition Derby.
Yeah. Okay. Tractor pull.
Tractor pull. Never been to a tractor pull.
Okay.
But speaking of tractors, the 19th annual White Oak Antique Tractor Show is also going on August 23rd and 24th this weekend, 1 mile north of Deer River on Highway 6. Each day will feature a pancake breakfast and parade, as well as demos throughout the day. Raffle for a 1947 farm mail tractor and a farmer's market, free and open to all.
Ooh, I like an old farm mall.
My dad has an old tractor. Actually, he got rid of it, so never mind.
What color was it? What
blue,
kind was it?
Blue.
Was it a little...
I don't know what it was called.
Okay.
I shouldn't have brought it up.
Well, our very own reporter, Larissa Donovan, got to go to the Lake Itasca Regional Pioneer Farmers Weekend last weekend.
Oh, yes.
Just north of Itasca State Park. Have you ever been to that? Probably
no,
not.
I haven't been to that.
It's a huge gathering. And if you're into old farmy stuff, it's pretty interesting.
Steam powered.
Yep. Are you a steam engine fan?
I'm a fan of the steam engine. I like the concept of steam making things go.
Do you think we'll ever go back?
I don't think so. I got some bad news, Jen.
But there's a huge steam engine gathering, speaking of, Labor Day weekend. Well, this could maybe be another Labor Day.
That could be my Labor Day plans.
Plan. In Rolog, Minnesota. You know where that is?
No.
It's a little bit west of our listening area, probably. It's just outside of DL, Detroit Lakes.
Oh, okay.
But they've done it forever, and it's steam engine, steam thresher. You remember threshing crews?
Yes.
Long ago? My grandma used to have lots of stories about having to cook for and feed the threshing crew. You know, like as a kid, like she's pushing a chair up to the counter so she can knead enough bread to bake like dozens of loaves of bread for the threshing crews when they come in hungry and running lunch out to the field, you know, and all the things like. But I've heard rave reviews of this steam threshers show,
and that's going on Labor Day weekend.
Excellent. Rolog, Minnesota. So well, you know, you can still get in on this even if you've missed your county fair or if you're not going to go to the state fair.
All right, so lots of options this weekend and next weekend, and to celebrate steam, I'm going to play a song by the Go-Betweens. It is called Head Full of Steam.
Friends on my body lie on the floor.
And that was The Go-Betweens with Head Full of Steam. I absolutely love that song. It's from a great album. The album's called Liberty Bell and the Black Diamond Express. The Go-Betweens are one of the only bands where I bought a box vinyl set.
Wow. That's saying a lot. You're a guy that buys a lot of vinyl, too.
Yeah, but not usually box sets because they're usually so expensive. That one was like $180, I think. And it came with four albums. Three of them were studio albums. One was a live album. Then a bunch of CDs of demos and stuff, which now I have that CD player, so I can listen to those demos.
Yeah, you're just set. Well, we were talking about your album of the week from the vault. I mean, not album of the week. Your album from the vault today has inspired some texts on
yes.
the text line.
So we heard from Lisa talking about the concert she went to that was headlined by Melissa Manchester.
Yep.
And Katie Carter texted us in. I don't know anything about the concert, but just by chance, this is on the top of my vinyl stack at home right now. It's Melissa Manchester's album, Home to Myself.
Wow. I love that.
Yeah.
Synchronicity, right?
Absolutely. Something's in the air. Melissa Manchester's making a comeback.
I'll have to maybe listen to a little Melissa Manchester this afternoon.
Coming up in a little bit, we've got Area Voices. Support for KAXE comes from the Timberlake Restaurant in Grand Rapids, featuring Martini Monday each week from 5 to 8 p.m. Information about this summer's Martini Monday music series is available at Timberlake Lodge Hotel.
We also receive support from the Green Heron Bed and Breakfast, a four-season B&B on Pokegama Lake, featuring home-cooked meals and all the amenities for a complete family vacation. More information at greenheronbnb.com.
Time now for Area Voices. My name is Andrew DeZingle, and I'm the producer of Area Voices. Mask and Rose Women's Theater presents Hadestown, going on August 21st through the 25th, and today I'm joined by two people involved with the production to discuss the musical Hadestown and why Greek mythology still seems to find its way into our modern culture.
Kat Bellevaux, and I am the director of Hadestown.
Kat Lavelle, and I play Hermes.
So what is Hadestown about?
Hadestown is a brilliant musician named Anais Mitchell using, like artists do, a spark of something to create. So she took Greek mythology, which a lot of us know has so much metaphor and so much human story for all of us. She took several stories, and I'll have Kat talk about the love stories that are there, but she took those stories in a 12-year process. She turned that love story into a bigger story about oppressive systems and what they do to humans to lose their hope and resilience. So we're kind of intertwining with beautiful lyrics, beautiful music, the story of, and I'll let Kat talk about the lovers in this story.
Well, you know, ancient Greek mythology, I think everybody knows about a little bit about Hades and Persephone. She kind of took the love story of Hades and Persephone and then the love story of Orpheus and Eurydice and made them a juxtaposition. You have Orpheus and Eurydice, this pure new love, so passionate. You know, they can't live without each other the way every new relationship starts out. And then you have Hades and Persephone, who are an old married couple. And, you know, they've reached kind of a plateau in the relationship. It's kind of how that new love can help them recognize what they once had.
So on the poster, it says it's the teen edition. What makes it the teen edition of these?
I think in the original Broadway version, they wanted to, for teens, tamp down some of the discussion or the play with addictions. So they brought that down a bit, I think, because they realized sometimes getting a play this beautiful with so many powerful messages to high school audiences, it's a little tricky these days. And so they brought some of those addiction pieces down a bit. But generally, I just saw the thing in Minneapolis, the Broadway version. There's minimal changes other than that. Maybe the music tweaked a little bit for high school musicians, but that's it. Otherwise, the powerful story about don't lose your hope and your resilience around oppressive systems, oppressive people, those have existed from antiquity. We're wise people. There are always those oppressive systems. I took training in theater of the oppressed back in the day. So there's always those systems. How do we, the people, still stand with our hope and our resilience?
Is that what drew you to the show in the first place, or had you seen it before and were interested in?
Yeah, I would say my artistic aesthetic, Andrew, is very much drawn to social issues. I love people to sit in community and to be moved and changed and to think about those bigger issues. It's great sometimes to just have fluff and fun. We did that last year. We did a very funny, fun show just to let people laugh. This one felt very pertinent to the times. It doesn't pound anyone over the head, but it certainly helps us to think about those things I just spoke about.
So what kind of music can we expect in this show?
It is a fusion of blues, New Orleans jazz, some contemporary. It's, if you love music, because I know some people tend to, if you're not a musician or if you're not musically inclined, sometimes it's hard to like listen, or, you know, like you have a Sondheim, for example, which is, the music is very complicated. This music is the kind of music that you would sit down and listen to. Just chilling. I mean, it's a beautiful album and it's incredible. It's music with a message, but the harmonies and just the composition of her music is so amazing. Yes. That's what drew me to them.
It's perfect for this station, quite frankly.
Yes,
because folks that listen to this music are eclectic listeners. They love jazz and blues and rock and pop and avant-garde, and so everything is represented. We're set in a New Orleans bar in the 1930s and 40s. We have a live band, trombone player, who's going to be, for the first time tonight, even stepping out to dance with our cast members with a trombone. Wow. and top-of-the-line musicians from this community. You know, we have Schnackenberg Boys on guitars, and just a strong band. So a live band with our amazing singers. So folks from KBXE and KXE land, you want to be there because you love this music.
Mm-hmm. So, Kat, have you been in a show before where a live band was the backing musicians before?
No. I've been in a few where we had a few musicians, you know, your bare bones, like a guitar, piano, and maybe a little bit of percussion, but never like this. This is like a New Orleans funeral. Oh. It is so fun, so amazing. Even the parts that aren't happy have amazing music that just moves you.
And hopefully people know what a New Orleans funeral means when she says that, so we don't dissuade you from coming.
In New Orleans, when they do funerals, you have this huge jazz band that follows the mm-hmm. casket, and people are dancing and celebrating, and that's kind of how this feels. We're celebrating some darker themes, but because everything we believe in Hadestown works out in the end. We sing the song knowing that it may have a sad ending. We just keep singing it again and again.
So you got a wide range of ages in this group. Was that something that you had planned in originally when putting on this show, or just that many people were interested in being a part of it?
I kind of have been in the community long enough to know who has the chops to do a high tenor in this town and to look the part as well. So it's kind of approaching people to say, would you be willing to do this? And then the teens just came along kind of organically, that two or three I knew, and one of them, a teenager, is choreographing the entire show. So the teens kind of organically came in with their friends, but I kind of went out to find people. This woman hasn't been on stage for a long, long time. I saw her at an open mic at Headwaters. She's got that beautiful, clear, blues, jazzy, interpretive voice, and I said, would you be Hermes? And it was pulling her out of sort of retirement, sort of isolation, and if you come, you will see that Kat just knocks it out of the park playing our narrator, Hermes. But I think people need to realize that it's a sung through. It's like a folk opera. Most theater is talk, 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 and then a song, talk, 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 song for a musical. This is entirely sung through with just a little bit of narration.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's almost like you're like a Jesus Christ superstar. Yes. Where it's music after music, mm-hmm. layered. It's
mm-hmm. So what do you think it is about Greek mythology that we're still to this day like reinterpreting those stories?
Yeah, I think it's our humanity. That I've said to my husband, you know, the range of emotions we have as humans seems to be pretty consistent through history, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. So the Greeks could come alive and come sit in our theater, and if that moment understood English, things would resonate with them. They would understand that our workers are playing the Greek chorus. They are reiterating what's happening on stage by adding to it. That Greek chorus is the teens, they're workers. So they literally are going to have armbands on their arms that say, we are the machinists, we are the farm workers, all the workers that you can think that go in and do the work in this nation. That's who they represent. And I think mythology is those human stories that carry across to all of us through time. And think of it, we're talking ancient Greek, and yet the metaphors and the stories still resonate because we're humans, right? Yeah.
There's also, I think one of the really strong points of this musical is that the workers unite. When they're in their oppressed state, all they can, and it's with anybody, it's with human beings in general. When you're in an oppressed state, when you're being held down, it's hard to find joy. It's hard to speak your truth. It's hard to promote creativity. And so we see kind of an arc with the workers as well, where they decide, oh, wait a minute, we're going to stand by Orpheus. We want our freedom. We're realizing that this is not freedom. We want real freedom. And in order to do that, they have to be united. They have to open their eyes and they have to all be united.
And Hades has an arc too. We think of him as the Dark Lord of the Underground. I mean, and to your point, Andrew, even like Star Wars and some of the movies, there's those metaphors and those characters in Star Wars and some of those big movies that we go to. They're the same themes as Greek mythology, aren't they? So our Hades, who we all see as the villain, he has an arc in this show too. It's worth coming to the show just to see Eric Carlson, an amazing musician, but now we can say slash actor, because he takes us from Hades, the villain, into someone who will very much move your heart, because we see the arc of his change in the story, from oppressor, losing the love of his life, and reevaluating what's that like when all you do is oppress everyone around you, and how do I get back to being a full human with empathy, kindness, those things that we value, I think.
What is the only way you can get tickets for this show?
Thank you for leading that way. That was brilliant. Because we're so rural out there in the country, we don't want 50 people showing up and there's only 10 seats left. So our easiest solution is every ticket is going to be available one place only, Mackenzie Place in Bemidji. And so just head in there and buy your tickets, come to the door, show your ticket, and in you come. We're going to open the house about 15 minutes before the show, so you don't have to come an hour before the show. Just 15 minutes before the show, the doors will open. Folks can come in.
If there's anybody that's ever wanted to see Hadestown but couldn't afford to go to Broadway or even down to the Orpheum to see it, this is your chance to see a Broadway quality production in a small rural theater. It's an experience that you need to check out.
Don't clean your refrigerator, go fishing, or take the dog for a walk. Instead, say, I'm going to go to Hadestown.
Kat Beliveau and Kat Lavelle have been my guests today. Performances for Hadestown begin August 21st and go through August 25th. Area Voices is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the citizens of Minnesota. You are listening to the Wednesday Morning Show. We're wrapping things up here. I'm Andrew DeZingle here with Jen Kellen.
And now a message paid for by the Minnesota Department of Health. Sometimes you just need to talk about it, but it can be hard to find